Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Jared Sutton in studio now, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati, and the Drake Jason Justice on this Monday, March 20th, 2023. What's up, Jared Sutton? How are you?
What's up, guys? I just got to say, I just love that when that song gets played and Nate dances every single time. Dude, it hits
that song.
Every time.
Love that song. Love your intro.
I love it. Gets me going on Monday morning here. How are you, Stephen? How you feeling?
Look.
It's a little different than when we talked on Friday.
It's fine.
A little different vibe.
I've gone through this several times already today, but I'll go through it again. I will not allow that loss to erase what Mizzou basketball accomplished this year. The number one thing is it brought back a lot of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know this.
Students included.
This thing was dead. The former players, the alumni, the casual fans, the students, it just wasn't a thing anymore. And they were in a real bad spot, not just being not being competitive, but also just being irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In 1 year, he makes them competitive. They win 25 games. They finish in the top four in the SEC for the first time ever. Make it to Saturday, the SEC tournament for the first time ever. Win the NCAA tournament game for the first time in 13 years. And puts butts in the seats on a consistent basis. All that is fantastic. All that is more than I thought you would do. I did not think any of those things would happen in year one. Did you?
I did not. No. I thought there was going to be... I felt good about going to practices. I felt good about conversations I'd have with Coach Gates when he had those former player Zooms that we did once he got the job. And he was kind of introducing himself to the former guys and why he took the job and what his goals were, what his philosophies were. I felt good about what we were getting. And I also felt good about getting Charlton Young, who was a terrific recruiter and one of the best assistant coaches in the country.
C.Y. Young!
C.Y. So that it was almost like I felt positive about where we were starting. Dickie Nutt's in there, too.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Kyle
Smith-Peters in there as well. But I felt good about where they were going. It was just, okay, how quick can they turn the roster around? Who's staying? Who's going? With the portal being what it is now and NIL, what's that going to look like? And... You know, when you fast forward and you think, man, 25 wins.
Exceeded expectations across the board.
For sure. And I think it's fair to say Mizzou fans have every right to be upset because Mizzou lost to a 15 in Princeton and they were favored in that game to go to the Sweet 16. I get that Mizzou fans, they want to feel that, hey, we should have won this game. We should have been in this game. And the reality is Missouri lost how I thought they were going to lose. It's too bad it's Princeton, but the recipe for Mizzou getting beat, if you look at the box scores, if you look at the stat sheet, I mean, how Kobe Brown played, how DeMoy Hodge played, Mizzou's defense, which was such a hot topic back in November and December, it let them down in this game. And offensively, they had really nothing. And Princeton did a terrific job taking away Kobe Brown. DeMoy was a little banged up. DeMoy couldn't get going. I still felt the shot selection was really bad and poor. I haven't seen Mizzou play a 40-minute game where they just were they weren't great the entire game. It's been a little while. I guess Auburn, when they got blown out at Auburn, that probably was the last time where they just didn't have anything. We've seen them have a terrible half, and then they bounce back and have a great half right after that. So it's just frustrating how it ended. But I was talking to Gabe DeArmond about this. The NCAA tournament is great, right? There's the highs and lows of the NCAA tournament. We've been on both sides of the aisle of that. But it doesn't take away what you accomplished during the season. You won 25 games. That's a big deal. You did it in the SEC. That was a great league all year in college basketball. And you won an NCAA tournament game. That was the goal for me once we got in the tournament. And the original goal was to get off the 8-9 line. They did that by how they closed the regular season. So there's so much to be proud of. Coach Gates is... Man, I'm so impressed with what he's done. And when I say this is just the beginning, the reason why I say that, you heard it in Sternberg and Noah Carter, Trey Gomillion after the game when they were like, we came to Mizzou to help Coach Gates get the culture built, and they did that. This team has now got to go to another level. I think where they're going to – they're recruiting –
Come on, say it right. A whole nother level.
A whole nother level. Their recruiting class coming in, I'm very excited about. We'll see what they do in building the team from here, but they're in great hands with where they are right now.
Okay, so, again, don't let the one loss erase what happened, but it's not just they lost to Princeton. They got their asses handed to them.
Sure, no question.
And they looked poorly coached. They looked like it was a poor effort. They got out-hustled, they got out-played, they got out-shot, they got out-everything.
They had no urgency.
And it looks like they came out flat.
Yeah.
And so Lebo has brought this up. You can hear me back there. He's brought this up a little bit. He's kind of alluded to the idea.
Lebo's catching strays.
Maybe Dennis Gates was a little bit too overconfident, too ready to take a victory lap after the win over Utah State. Do you think that's it at all? Did they...
I don't know.
Did they get too overconfident going into that game?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I don't know if they've ever been overconfident at all this year. I think it's always been a buy-in within it. Now, yes, I Coach Gates saying what he said, I think it was more of a kind of a shot to his team of kind of having that underdog mentality through the SEC tournament.
All the other losses have been quad one losses. They didn't lose any team that they should have beat, that they were, decided favorites against. So it hadn't happened all year long.
You got to remember too, they're getting ready to play for a Sweet 16 berth. All these guys haven't been in that moment. I think there's a little bit of playing tight in that moment. And look, that's not an excuse by any means. I'm just trying to explain what it looked like. They were flat. They had no urgency.
But how did Princeton play like the '86 Celtics then? Like, because that's what they look like.
They
were magnificent.
They played with much more. It looked like more fire. It looked like more of an energy. I thought their game plan was really good.
When they passed the basketball.
Once they got started, they started to make some shots. They started to build a little bit of a lead. Missouri just could not make any shots. They couldn't get. I thought Princeton's defense. Princeton just looked way more athletic than I thought they were going to be. My gosh, like what they were doing on defense, Missouri couldn't get any sort of separation. Missouri had to settle for so many tough shots. And then you flip the script. My God, Missouri's defense, they had to change their defense, what, four or five times in the game?
They
couldn't keep the ball in front.
Whatever they wanted to do against Missouri's defense.
I came in here on Friday, and I said, we were talking about switching defenses. Me and Nate, we got down this rabbit hole of help defense, right? And like, if you get beat, if you're switching, you get beat. Their gaps... There were holes everywhere there, and it speaks to the inconsistency of what this team has been at different times, right? I mean, they had a great year, but their losses, if you peel back the onion, you go back and you look at the losses that they had this year and take away the quad one, that's a valid point, but how they get beat? They get beat on the glass, right? They get hammered on the glass. They don't stop the ball. Their defensive transition is bad, or they can't keep the ball in front. They can't get to shooters. They get beat by three-point shooting. They don't shoot the ball well themselves. They're flat on offense. The ball doesn't move. The ball sticks. Everything that... It was kind of like a brush fire of how Missouri lost, because it was just so many things that played a factor. It wasn't one thing. It was both ends of the floor. They didn't share the ball all that well until the very end of the game. The assist numbers, the bench points, the points off turnovers, it just felt like every statistical category, Princeton just dominated the game.
To me, like if you zoom the camera out and look year by year at the NCAA tournament, people want to draw these conclusions about what a team does in the tournament as if it's a big referendum on well, this guy's a bad tournament coach, this guy's a good tournament coach. The best example you could use is Virginia. They've had two of the worst upset losses in the history of the NCAA under this coach, and they've also won a national championship.
Right, exactly.
I mean, you just got to keep getting yourself in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was my rationale with picking Gonzaga to win the national title this time around. It's like, I just feel like it's their turn.
Yeah.
Because what is it, 8 Sweet 16s in a row for them now?
I think that's right.
I think that's what I read last night heard them say last night when I was watching the game. But, you know, like at some point, like for a long time, I mean, Steven was here when I got into a shouting match with a former salesperson here who, told me, Bill Self, choke artist. He's a choke artist.
Wow.
Can't win the big one. Can't win the big one, and until you win the big one, you can't win the big one.
Right.
And it's to me, like, okay, yes, it's a bad loss. It is.
Yep.
There's no two ways about it. But what I want to know if I'm looking at my coach is, how often is he going to get me there?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like almost like how often is he going to get me in the position where we can get upset in the NCAA tournament? Because, by the way, the only way you can get upset in the NCAA tournament is to have a decent seed.
Right.
You know? And so, like...
And, Nate, doesn't it come into play, too, where you look at, like, Missouri's roster in terms of size, athleticism? You know, they brought in experience, but you look at how they matched up against other SEC teams.
Yeah.
Throughout league play, it was like, man, they're winning games where you're thinking... They beat Tennessee twice.
How much NBA talent's like, on that? Let's just take a look at it from that way.
On Missouri's side, Kobe Brown's got the best chance.
Yeah.
He's got the best
chance. And watching him play in that Utah State game, I was like, that dude does look like an NBA guy. Yep. He could shoot. He could put on the floor. He's got footwork. But outside of that...
The reason why, too, he'll be in a totally different role than that he's probably more comfortable with at the next level.
But outside of that, like, what other NBA talent is on that NBA roster or that Missouri roster right now?
I think Des Moines got a chance to do some things in the G League and maybe help him, you know, maybe get a chance. You know, we saw that with Drew Smith, former Missouri Tiger, went to the G League and
an Arkansas team that's got two guys that are supposed to be lottery picks.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of NBA talent out there in the SEC, and this team went out and competed and won games against them.
No. And they always struggled with guys that had teams that had size, teams that could stretch it, teams that could. I thought Princeton's spacing was terrific. Like I think the game plan that they had really exploited all the flaws in Missouri's team, and that doesn't take away from what those guys accomplished. It's impressive what they did. All those players and coaches, they should be proud of what they did. It stinks how that it finished.
They were given a golden opportunity to go to the Sweet 16.
They were.
And they blew it.
They blew it. No question. They did.
And it's true.
Both of those things can be true. Yep. Both of those things can be true.
But you know what, man? Do you think, to me, like, if you're a Missouri fan, do you think Dennis Gates is going to get you back there?
Yes. I feel way more confident right now of where the program's at than years past. We talked about this on Friday.
Yes. But that's not the biggest compliment in the world.
What's that?
I have more faith in this guy than Kim Anderson and Constance Martin.
Was this team more talented than the Michael Porter Jr. team that limped into the tournament against Florida State?
Talented? No.
Correct. Right.
No.
Did you feel more confident about this team winning an NCAA tournament game going into the NCAA tournament? Takeaway Princeton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know what, though? I still thought that somehow Michael Porter Jr. was going to have a cape on. Like, here I really am. I held on. That's a bad deal. I was like, oh, to the land. Like, oh, you can't even jump.
The best way to say it is I think Dennis Gates proved a lot in terms of how he coaches games, how he can get the most out of his roster. He played a lot of guys. He had to change his defenses throughout the year. They were horrible against Kansas. Remember, they got blown out by Kansas. They've been blown out by Auburn. They had been destroyed by Mississippi State.
He appears to have a chip on his shoulder when it comes to the media.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I had someone that I have a lot of respect for that said he needs to do better.
In terms of
with that.
The media?
Just dealing with the media and maybe, you know, doing some more interviews. Like, I don't, whatever. If you win, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
But just like going back to, like, he was, like, after that first round game against Utah State and they're on the court, like, he wasn't even happy. And then he was very, like, I'm just, Lebo did not like, whatever. He really rubbed Lebo the wrong way in his press conference. And I don't know, Lebo just didn't like certain things. I don't know. right. He did not like.
Yeah,
he brought it up several times. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, he didn't have Isaiah Mosley too for much of the year, and they were really, you know, predicating their season early on, like back in October, November. Like, man, they got Isaiah Mosley. He's going to be.
They missed Trey Gomillion.
Trey Gomillion. That's a big one. Yeah, I mean, like, there's just so many pieces to this where it's like, yeah, they got beat and they laid an egg, and it was an ugly loss. There's no question about that. It's a missed opportunity. All that's there. I still think they overachieved with what they had, and I think that's a big sign. 25 wins? Yeah, I'll take that. And I think the roster is going to get so much better as this keeps going in terms of adding freshman talent and the portal. I think they've identified pieces that they want to – they put this team together how they did it, and I think that's only going to get better.
So that loss did not rob you of any enthusiasm?
No, not at all. It was disappointing, for sure. They picked the wrong day to just – be completely flat. I still think,
but how's that happen?
I don't think they were able to establish Kobe Brown at all for much of that. I think Kobe getting blocked a couple times and not getting you know, I shouldn't say this, but I think there was some inconsistency, a little bit of maybe some fouls there that had no part in the outcome.
Blame the refs.
They had no part in the outcome, but I think it impacted Kobe because I think he was trying to get to the free throw line and got a shot blocked a couple times. And man, I thought Princeton's athleticism, I think it surprised Missouri a little bit. I really do.
And when I say this, I blame Missouri too.
For sure.
They didn't take a free throw until, was it 14:53 left in the game. That was their first free throw.
Think about how many just bad shots they took.
And I'm not saying that to blame the refs. I'm saying that.
I'm not blaming. There's no blaming.
Hey, 30-foot three-pointer. I'll take that.
This is not a blaming of officials. It's about trying to find the flow of the game, how the game's going to be called. And then it was trying to get Kobe some sort of, like, get to the free throw line, use your physicality. And he got his shot blocked. There was some contact. And it just sort of took I just felt like there was no life within the group there.
Are we transitioning?
Yeah.
So to go back to the comments that Lebo didn't like, the way that you know, Dennis Gates handled, you know, was a little salty there.
Yep.
I can identify because I have a tendency, you know, I've had a tendency in my life to get a little excited.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's not
no. Many times, not just the not even the most notable ones, but just, you know, there, you know, playing a pickup game, all of a sudden my team's up 4-0, and I pop off a little bit, say something, and then the next thing you know,
having flashbacks to the NAIA tournament, with the Jays on and hitting.
Yeah, I get a little excited, maybe run my mouth a little bit before I've crossed the finish line, you know, and then maybe I got a little too excited, a little too stirred.
Confidence,
you know?
It's confidence. Yeah.
And I don't know if that was the case with Dennis Gates or not, but sometimes in life, you know, I've done that a time or two, so I get it.
Okay, so
Where are you at right now? I know it's a tough loss, but you got to be excited at least about the program is at.
Yes.
25 wins is an accomplishment.
Yes, I am excited about that, but I did not like the way that game went.
Fair.
That was. It's just like I don't understand with a game of such importance how they could look so unprepared and so flat.
I even felt like being down 7 at half, I thought, okay, they were terrible in the first half.
Right.
Usually they come back and
well,
in
they
the
went
second
on that 7-0 run, like okay, all right.
Yeah.
And even right off the bat, they were down 7 at halftime, and the first basket they made were Kobe kind of played bully ball, got in there, got the layup, so it's down to 5.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, I mean, as soon as they got it down to 5, three-pointer, two-pointer, three-pointer.
Yeah.
And it was like 12 points, just like that. And every single time Mizzou hit a shot or did something, we think, okay, now you go, Princeton would go down there and hit a three.
Yeah.
And more times than not, it was an uncontested three.
Wide open.
And I saw, like, somebody put out the stats of contested jump shots.
Mm-hmm.
And like almost every one of Mizzou's jump shots was contested. And I mean, a very small percentage of Princeton's jump shots were contested, right?
Right.
Just
no
wide
question.
Open.
Can I get some off my chest here?
Wait, let's break. Oh,
let's break.
Break.
Okay.
I want
we
you to
break.
Let it build in your chest. I'll take a break back after this on WHB. Tell you what. Boy, I hope you're recording, Drake. I listened to a very emotional speech here by Nate, basically with the title of "This is why people hate Kansas fans." I'm like, go on.
We had a great conversation.
He's on a soapbox. Another thing.
We got into the '97 Kansas team, which was
this guy's just telling. This is why. This is why they hate. You know. What were you going to get off your chest?
So, I don't know if you guys heard this, but yesterday,
what?
Clark Kellogg, who I like a lot, he's very good, he's great for college basketball, he starts talking about rebounding and how rebounding is all about desire and that boxing out, it's overrated. And I thought, okay, I get where he's coming from, that you have to have a desire to go rebound. Of course, it's a toughness, it's a mentality, it's an attitude, it's an approach. But if you take Missouri, for example, who is undersized and small, you have to box out all 5 guys. It's team rebounding. It's a fundamental you learn as a kid about boxing out. making just contact in general, not just depending on out jumping and timing and anticipation, which is a part of rebounding. But like, it's like saying, oh, we're not going to contest shots. Contesting shots is overrated. Like, there's details in the fundamentals of the game, and I could not believe Clark Kellogg said that, and that's gone viral, of course.
I didn't see them boxing out a lot against Princeton.
No, but exactly. Well, they got dominated on the glass. Like, right. Nobody hitting. And I think it's like a Nick Honor being like, well, I'm the smallest guy on the floor. I'm around the rim, but I'm not getting this rebound. Well, what if you just, even if you're not getting the rebound, how about just putting your body into someone and just being right. physical, like even if you don't get the rebound, dude, it's a selfless act. It's a fundamental that you learn as a kid that it still matters. And I couldn't believe Clark Kellogg said that. And Barkley was basically saying like, yeah, you got to have the desire. But look, it's easier said than done when you are 6'10" and you can use your length to go get a rebound. But not everybody can do that. That's on the floor. And coaches are going to say, hey, we need our guards to go rebound. Guards are going to be undersized. Everybody needs to learn how to box out. That's
tallest
a fundamental
team
thing.
In the tournament was Purdue. Shortest team in the tournament was FDU.
Yeah. And man,
it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size
now,
of the fight in the dog.
I'll ask you this. We'll move on. On Friday, you heard me.
Yep.
I told him, I said, you're going to have this Eric Musselman experience. And when you're done, unless you blow him out or something, you're not going to like this guy.
Yeah.
He's going to get under your skin. Now, I'm wrong for some reason. Nate's been tickled by the shirtless dance after the win over Kansas. He likes it.
I knew it
but
was coming.
Most of these Kansas fans are pissed. Our guy Mitch Lightfoot,
uh-huh.
He don't like it.
Yeah.
Scott Pollard's tweet, he don't like it. Everyone's, oh.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, since Nate was bringing up Kansas fans, we know this. Kansas is very particular about how you should celebrate when you beat them.
Mm.
There's certain things you don't rush the court, don't take your shirt off,
don't backflip,
no pants off, none of this stuff, right?
Have we had to talk about someone taking their shirt off before?
Maybe, but the point is, that's fine. A team, but you've seen it,
yeah.
This Eric Musselman can really irritate a fan base, and again when he was at Nevada, and I'm like, oh, look at this. This guy really puts some emotion. Oh, boy. That guy is good for college basketball. And then when I got to watch him when he beats Missouri, like, you son of a...
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, until you play him, and Nate, you didn't watch it live, so maybe that takes away from him.
I think that's right.
The built-up frustration, his antics and yelling like, ah, at everybody and everyone.
Busy screaming and yelling with a bunch of Venezuelans.
But do you have any problem... You're a man. I look at you as an ambassador of not even college, just basketball. You love basketball. You love the sport. Do you have any problems? You think, you know what, Eric Musselman, show some class. That was a round of 32 game. Find Mitch Lightfoot's tweet so we can do that. You know what? Act like you've been there before. Or is this, you know what, this guy just beat the defending national champs. He's up there with his fan base. He's got his shirt off. He loves it. This is great for college basketball. What say you of Eric Musselman's striptease after that game?
Well, let's see. He's 8-2 now in the NCAA tournament at Arkansas. So in March in the tournament, he's done a pretty good job, right? Lead
pretty
eight appearances,
pal.
pretty good job. With this team, the whole year has been a mess at Arkansas with the Nick Smith situation. They're young, they're talented, they're athletic, but they've had a roller coaster of a year.
You got Trevon Brazil on Instagram saying F Mizzou. I love Kobe Brown, but F Mizzou, son of a gun.
And given the fact that my coach coached at Arkansas, Coach A, I've learned a lot about that fan base, and I've gone down to Fayetteville several times. They're different fan base, right? They're pretty tough. They're in terms of like they expect things done in a certain way. But I think
they've accomplished a lot more than they have.
Yeah. Fair. But
they
expect the Nolan Richardson team.
Good morning, Nate.
Yeah. They expect to be in the final. You know, all that stuff. The thought of their programs and their teams are pretty high. The standards pretty high within that fan base. Yeah.
Respond to this one.
But to answer your question though, I think Musk does things a certain way, and it's not something that I would do personally, but hey.
A lot of people like to see you with your shirt off around this city.
I don't know about that.
So Harold Kuntz was at the game, covering the game, And before the game, he said, some Arkansas staffers are wearing Liberty Bowl pullovers.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay.
Because in Liberty Bowl, Mizzou beat Arkansas. Right? And so that caught some people's eye.
Arkansas then, beat Kansas.
Yeah. So yeah, Arkansas beat Kansas. So then Harold Koontz, after the game, says, one of the staffers wearing a Liberty Bowl pullover told me afterward, if Kansas wants us to end their season in any other sport, call us.
Wow. Wow. I mean, would you, I mean, and we're going to talk about, you know, Dennis Gates after the Utah State win. That's just like saying, hey, we weren't, you know, picked to win this game. This is a little different. A little different.
It's kind of going just a little farther.
A little farther. It's taking it to a little different level.
I hesitate to say this because I'm a massive Lance Leipold fan, and I think Kansas is going to go back to more bowl games in the future.
Okay.
But this is a perfect example of an overinflated ego. If you're an SEC football team and you're strutting around bragging about beating Kansas in a bowl game.
Yeah.
Okay, if that's what you're bragging about, that says everything you need to know about where your program is in sports in general. And that's the arrogant point that Mitch Lightfoot was making. You say he's mad. I think he's salty. He says, great game by Arkansas. Congratulations on the win. Proud of our guys. Fighting through adversity all year. That being said, my coach has never jumped on a table shirtless for a round of 32 victory.
There it is.
These are facts. Is that fact?
Right.
Is that a fact?
Right.
Could you imagine Bill Self, even when he was at Oral Roberts, jumping on a table with his shirt off after a round of 32 win?
Did I not tell you that this coach was going to do something that was going to piss off your fan base or lose? I told you.
The shirt off thing I find kind of adorable and fun. You know?
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, it's cute. If you're that excited about
winning
a 32-0, now you got me rooting for Connecticut.
There we go, UConn!
Now you got me saying, let's go, UConn.
The salt of Anthony Sherman,
UConn, they know a thing or two about winning titles.
Listen, we got you. Okay, now we got it. Let's transition to something good. Kansas State.
I want to keep going down this must-bus.
Oh, dude. Kansas State. They beat Kentucky, all right? And now, you talk about this bracket opening up just right, and we've learned, look, they know. They had a chance to go to the Final Four to beat Loyola, Chicago, and then they lost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so, there's nothing.
That was after they beat Kentucky, too.
There's nothing for sure, but, man, oh, man, you got to love the way their bracket looks right now. Marquette, I had going to the Final Four. They're gone. Mm. Michigan State took care of them. So now, in Madison Square Garden, K-State takes on Michigan State. And then on the other side of the bracket, Purdue, you're out of here. FAU against Tennessee.
Yeah.
I just watched Missouri beat Tennessee twice over the past month or so.
Man.
I did not have Tennessee going here. I thought after they lost their program, I was like, no way. And they didn't look good their last 10, which I'm sure means nothing. We look at it, who cares? But I'm shocked that Tennessee's there. So you're talking about the other three teams that are in the Sweet 16 in the East, Michigan State, FAU, and Tennessee. I love K-State's chances of beating Michigan State, even though Michigan State's a one-point favorite somehow. I'll take the winner of – but then FAU's 33-3 against really no one, so you got to respect winning. But I'm telling you, this is it's right there on a silver platter for K-State. Will they take it and eat it?
I think their toughest matchup. I think their toughest matchup is actually Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
This is gonna be a great game, especially Marquise Noel. My gosh, I mean, just put K State on his back, refused to lose. The New York storyline here with him going back to New York, Naquan Tomlin as well going back to New York.
New York,
by the way,
point guards going toe to toe.
Man, and Tyson Walker was great yesterday. Izzo in March, we can talk a lot about that. You know, this team. If you would have gone and watched Michigan State back in January, they were just okay. They were kind of looking at, are we a team that's going to actually have a chance to make the tournament? I think they had some tough losses in non-conference play that, again, it's when you're playing your best basketball at the right time. It always comes back to that. And Michigan State right now is playing their best basketball. Joey Hauser is the X factor, I think, for Michigan State. He is the Marquette transfer who can really shoot the ball.
He's not allowed to go to Chiefs games.
X-Factor is a K-State fan.
I got
to
stop dropping the X-Factor.
Did you know that? X-Factor is a K-State fan.
Big time.
Is he banned at Madison Square Garden? Get on the phone and find out
now. Figure that out. but I think Kansas State, like, the final possession, the final 2 minutes, 3 minutes of the Kentucky win, like 50-50 balls matter. Oh, boxing out does matter. Rebounding does matter. Marquise Noel hit some big shots. The passing, the play.
You know what? You know who hit me to me the biggest shot of the game? Ish Masood.
Masood, yeah.
That's a New York kid too.
Keontae Johnson's step back was pretty nasty
that
too.
Was big.
That was another big.
That
one.
Was
both
big,
both of those were big. Yeah.
It was 62-61 with 2:19 to go, and Masood took when Masood took that shot. That was one of those. I was like, ooh, I don't know if I like that. Boom, he hit it, you know, and that put him up 64-62. They never trailed again, did they?
I think it was also Marquise Noel hit a big three to cut it to a one possession, like a minute before that. That was a massive shot.
Yep.
There was an offensive rebound off a missed Marquise Noel three. That was I think Nagessen that got an offensive rebound, and that could have changed the game too with Kentucky going back taking the lead on the other end. Like, it's winning time. Like, final 4 minute period, it's all about execution in a close game in the NCAA tournament. You know, I liked Kansas State, their side of the bracket going into the tournament. I thought they were fully capable of beating Kentucky, but it was going to come down to the physicality of Tshiebwe. And then I was not expecting Reeves and Toppin to go 1-for-21. And I think K State deserves some credit for that with their defense, but I also think, man, Kentucky's going to kind of kick themselves on. They had opportunities there. K-State made the more plays, and I think coming down to toughness, the little things, the factors that played a part in the win, they showed in that final 2 minutes, final 3 minutes, and I like K-State. I think this Michigan State game, though, man, it's going to be tough. It's all going to be physicality. Keontae's got to be great. I thought Naquan Tomlin both games was a factor, and he is a huge, huge part of what Kansas State does. Like, Marquise Noel is the engine. He makes so many things happen. I thought defensively he was very good. Man, some of those, like, passes, too. My gosh. Like, I thought Ian Eagle was going to come out of his chair. I mean, he was on one. But Naquan Tomlin, to me, is kind of the X factor of his size, his length. He does so many things that impact both ends of the floor. And then Desi and Cam, man, if they can be aggressive and get them 8-10 points, that production really matters off the bench. K-State's in a great spot, and their coaching staff, my gosh, they've speaks for itself of what they've been able to accomplish all year, and they're still going. They're still dancing. It's pretty cool.
We've got Jared Sutton in studio. Back after this on WHB. Drake, can we play the one clip, the 28-second clip from Jerome Tang about dudes in Kentucky from the Field of 68. 28 seconds long, my friend. Jerome Tang, again. And then after that, then we can cue up the Jerome Tang on the bubble screen inbound play. So we'll play those back to back, if you please. Because I loved both of these sound bites from Jerome Tang. And again, man,
that's why I love college basketball. We're talking about a lot of the coaching pieces of of what's taken place over the last couple of days.
And look, I'm not here to bash Bruce Weber because he had a good success.
Sure.
He won a couple conference championships. He had him in the Elite Eight. But it's like everything. And I'm just looking at it from my perspective. Everything Jerome Tang does, not just off the court, like on the court, like, man, I love that. Man, I love that. Oh, look at that video. Oh, look at that. You know, just him dancing in the locker room. And it hits different when they win. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's a guy dancing in the locker room after a 12-win season, like, you know, quit dancing and start game planning for these, you know. But anyway, you know, everything, right?
Right. Winning cures all. That's right.
So here... He was asked about beating Kentucky.
You don't get out there on the floor and play with some dudes, and we had more dudes than they did today, and that's what that was.
Dudes, man, I love the answer.
I love old dudes from Kentucky.
Gotta have dudes.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Right. I realize Kentucky's like, you just beat us. Not why you setting us on fire. I love that.
Well, Calipari's calling his best player the little kid.
Right.
Well, Cal didn't make himself look too good on that one.
No,
I would say.
No,
I don't think he meant it as a disrespect. No, I mean, he's a short guy that was really good, you know?
But you should know his name.
You shouldn't call him the little
kid. You should probably know his name when he goes for 27-9.
Maybe if he knew his name better, he wouldn't have gone for
27-9. Right.
How about that? Okay, so here's Jerome Tang at the press. At the it should be the one up from that. And so... Did you? What did you think of that play? I know other teams have used it, and he stole it from Baylor. Where it looked like they're lining up for
I've seen it run. I've seen it run differently, and I mean, do you the like fact that it was like a bubble screen was. I mean, it's legal. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a way to get the ball in bounds when some teams have a really hard time getting the ball in bounds. And you can do different things off of it, like throwing the ball. If it's a dead ball, spot ball, you can, you know, throw the ball baseline. You can do a lot of things with that. So I think it's creative. I've seen it run differently too, where it's not like a bubble screen. So the fact they call it Mahomes too, how could you not love it?
Right, that's what I mean. It's, it's easy to say that after you win, but it just seems like players would love to play for him. Support staff would love to work for him. Here's his answer when he was asked about that play.
On that inbounds play in the final minute when a bunch of guys were on the line, like, can you walk us through that?
No, because then the other team will know next time we have to use it.
but actually, it kind of came from Baylor, right?
Yeah, well, we, like, stole it from somebody else. And so, yeah, but yes, yeah, we have our own name. We actually call it Mahomes. For Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, you know that's probably
going. So Chiefs fans will love that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You know? I think too. It's we've talked about this before, and Dennis Gates is the same way. Both those guys as head coaches have reinstilled that fire and that passion and love for the university, for the school. How they carry themselves. They're both different guys and how they, different personalities, obviously, but their teams reflect them. And I think what can be said about both coaches is their coaching staffs. And we talk, about Mizzou staff, but Rodney Perry, who is one of my favorite guys in the business, he's a terrific coach. He's an assistant. Kevin Sutton, a terrific assistant coach. Coach Ulrich, who came over from Texas. That entire staff, top to bottom, they do a terrific job. And it's not just Coach Tang. He is the head man, but it's everything that kind of he instills in his staff to give them the freedom to be themselves as coaches too. That's why they've had such a special year. It's why that team is so connected top to bottom.
Who's your now adjusted Final Four based on the teams that are left?
So I still have three teams alive. I had Alabama winning it. I have Alabama against Texas in the national championship game. I think Houston's sneaky though. I wasn't sure about Marcus Sasser's health, but he looks great. I had Marquette as well, so they're out. But Duke was the team that killed me. Duke I had in the Final Four.
I've got Alabama, but I had Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got Houston and I've got Gonzaga.
Yep.
And so got three.
I'm sorry, I had Gonzaga over UConn. Yep. So I still my Final Four. I have three of them. Duke's the one that's not in there.
All right.
So we'll see. It's. I mean, there's so much that can happen in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight. This Final Four is going to be really interesting, and we'll see if Houston can get to Houston for the Final Four.
That's Jared Sutton. Everyone have a great day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.